John 15. This morning we're going to jump into verses 9, and we'll go as far as we can, 9, 10, 11, 12, if we get there. But John 15, I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. So we got the vine, we have the branches, we have the gardener, and then we have this series, this building blocks that we started looking at, starting in verse 7. Abiding is the foundation, and we bear much fruit, and we add that to the blocks. Then we are true disciples. If we're bearing fruit, if we're bearing much fruit, that's proving that we are true disciples. Then once, as true disciples, we have a desire to obey. We have a desire to do what we ought to be doing. And again, that's helping us to have assurance that we are disciples. And then because of the fact that we are abiding in Christ, that we are bearing fruit, that we are have the knowledge or the confidence that we are a true disciple and that we're obeying, then the result of that is this joy. We have joy in our hearts and our lives because of all of this. And we're going to see that even a little bit more today. So in verse 7, he said, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, it'll be done for you. And of course, we said it's not a genie in the bottle. We don't just, pray for anything we want and it's going to happen. Rather, when we abide in Christ, when we keep his commandments, when we are striving to know him and striving to have this relationship with Christ and wanting to we want our desires to be his desires. And I hope those of you that have been married a long, long time, and those of you that are getting ready to get married, I hope that you will learn this in the process of marriage over time. The longer you're married, I would say that probably most of us that have been married a long time would say that you know what, your desire really changes. It's not so much what I want anymore. It's, I find my joy, I find my happiness in serving my spouse. And I want them to be happy. And what's great is when both of you have that desire, then it really blends and it really helps mesh you together. And it's that idea of you're really beginning to abide together because your desires are their desires and their desires are your desires. And you're really coming together as one. And that's what Christ is talking about. It's not, my desire is to do these things all by myself. No, my desires are his desires. I want to please him. I want to do what he wants me to do. And so as we do that, then yes, we can pray. And we're praying for the will of God. We're praying for the things that will glorify him. And those are the prayers that we know will be answered. Because it is his will. It is his desire. It's things that he wants. And then he has given us that desire as well for. And so we're not promised invincible prayer power. As long as we pray and say in Jesus' name at the end. Or, we pray and say some magic words. That's not what's happening. It's built upon that relationship. He says, as we are to remain in him, that's the fellowship. We've got to maintain a fellowship with Christ. That's spending time with him every day and getting to know him. And that's part of it with when you're married, the longer you're married, the more you get to know the other person. And the more you find out their intricacies and their desires and what it is that makes them who they are. And so the more time that we fellowship with God, the more time that we spend with Christ, the more we get to know Him and the more we understand Him. You know, in the Old Testament it says, my thoughts aren't your thoughts and my ways aren't your ways. But what else are we told? The more that we spend time with Christ, we can have the mind of Christ. Yes. You know, we can get to know Him to the point that, you know what, I'm kind of thinking along the lines that Christ is thinking. Because I'm being conformed to His image. And as I'm conformed to His image, I'm beginning to think like Him and act like Him and be like Him. Now, obviously, it won't be perfected until we are in His presence and we get our new bodies. But we are working. We should be progressing in that direction. And then His words remain in us. That's the obedience to His teachings. You know what? We're studying His Word. We're memorizing His Word. We're allowing the Holy Spirit to bring that Word back to our mind as we are faced with things every day. And we use the Word of God just like Jesus did when He was tempted. You know, He didn't say, oh, I'm going to do this in my own strength and I can combat the devil. No, He used the Scripture when He was tempted. And it's important to realize, you know, He knew the Scripture. You know, He learned it as He was growing up. And so He was able to take what He had learned and use that as the ammunition or as the defense for His temptations. So if our hearts are aligned with the heart of Christ, and our need, then our needs will be His needs, and those needs will be supplied for us. And then we'll see that again in verse 16. Last week, Paul talked to us about disciples bearing fruit, and this kind of goes back. We start with abiding in Him, and then what's the next step? We bear much fruit. And at the end of that verse, he says what? You'll bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. So we kind of get this, we're abiding in Him in verse 7. We bear much fruit in verse 8. And because of that, we show that we are true disciples. And so Paul reminds us that being a disciple is not just based on having faith, but rather it's really the action behind the faith. You know, it's that call to action. It's the fact that we are doing something as a disciple. You know, if someone said they were in the military, but they never fought, they never trained, they never practiced, they never shot a gun, they never, whatever, you start wondering, you know, are they really in the military? You know, because our concept of somebody in the military is they're fighting, they're prepared. You know, they're ready to, you know, they know how to use a gun, they know how to shoot, they're good at targets. And I know not everybody is, but, you know, that's the mindset, you know, of a soldier. You know, they know how to jump out of an airplane, whether they like it or not, kind of thing. You know, they know how to survive if they get stranded somewhere and get separated. But, you know, if that never, you know, if they don't know how to do any of that, then sometimes, you know, we would wonder. All right, so the same thing, our showing that we're a disciple of Christ is that we are acting like that. We're acting like a disciple of Christ. You know, we are striving to emulate the words and actions of Christ in our lives, and those are the acts and deeds that are glorifying to the Father. So Paul reminded us of the application, our focus in all that we do should be to bring glory to God through abiding in Christ, regularly, consistently spend time in God's Word and prayer, look for opportunities to share the gospel, allow the fruit of the Spirit to ripen and be seen in our lives, so there's a growth there, and then be doers of the Word. You know, live it out, do what you're taught, do what you understand. Don't just hear it and go, yeah, that was a great sermon. You know, if you weren't in the 8:30 service, you're going to hear a great sermon at 10:45. But if you walk out, get in your car, go home and just do the same thing you've always done, what good is it? It's not going to do anything for you if you don't allow it to change how you live. So then in verse 9, he says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. So now Christ has this emphasis on the love. And that didn't come out very well. Does anybody know what this is? The circle of life. Good. All right. I didn't have the one in the bottom left corner, and I asked somebody if they would figure it out, and they said they weren't quite sure. So I added that in just to give you an extra hint. But you know, we hear, you know, if you've ever watched the movie, you know, the circle of life. But now what is it that John's talking about? He's not talking about a circle of life. Rather, he's presenting a circle of love. And really throughout his whole gospel, not just right here, but this is part of it. But But we see this circle of love. We see how, and I really tried to figure out how I could get it into a circle, but it really just didn't work. So I kind of gave up after a few tries. There's too many things to try to squeeze into the circle so you can still see it. But how it all starts by what? The Father loves the Son. You know, that's the very first thing we see in the Gospel, in John's Gospel, that the Father loves the Son. And then what is it the Son is? The Son's obedient. And He obediently loves His Father. So we have the love of the Father. We have the obedience of the Son because of the love of the Father and because of His love. Then the Son loves His followers as the Father has loved Him. So, in a sense, in our minds, we can say, okay, God the Father is love, and He's showing this love to the Son. The Son understands that love, and He's obedient because of it, and now He is teaching that love to His followers, and they're seeing that love, and they're learning that love from Him. And so now the Son is loving them as the Father's loved Him, and they're learning that. So now the Son's followers are loving and obeying the Son as He's loved and obeyed the Father. And then this loving and obeying the Son means that now we as the followers of the Son, the Father loves them. So it's all starting with God is love and He loves the Son. And then it's kind of, if you can picture the circle working its way around. So then the Son's loving the Father. The Son's loving His followers and teaching them. The followers are loving the Son and learning to obey Him just as He's done that in preceding to the Father. And then the Father's loving the followers of His Son because they are obeying Him and doing things that please the Son, which in turn pleases the Father. Okay, so then we continue. So being loved by the Son demands that we do what? Love each other. So now we see the spread even more. It's not enough just to say, oh, I love Christ or I love God. Because what does John tell us in 1 John? He goes a step farther. He says, if you say you love God and hate your brother, what does he call you? He says, you're a liar and the truth's not in you. You can't say I love God and hate other people. Especially someone else that says they're a brother in Christ. And so Jesus or John's continuing here saying, if you love the Son, then you have to love each other. That's just going to happen. It's going to be a manifestation of your love for the Son. And that true discipleship is proving your love through your deeds and your actions. Your life is going to prove that, yes, I have love in my heart for other people. I have love for the Son. And we can go all the way back up to the fact that God started it. And God had love for us. So true disciples prove their love through their deeds and actions. Loving others is the ultimate sign that one knows God. All right, where do we get that from? Jesus, right? What did He say? If you love Me, keep My commandments. By this shall all men know that you have that you are My disciples if you have love one to another. And so we can prove that. We show that by loving one another, we show that we are His disciples. And then the Father is glorified when these true disciples really are proving their love by loving one another, acting it out in words and deed, and continuing in that. So we have this huge circle that we see all throughout the Gospel of John. And you can jump over to 1 John a little bit and fill in a couple little spots there as well. So bearing fruit means loving others as God loves them, giving witness to the world. So this fruit bearing is possible only if you are in the vine, as we've looked at in the beginning of chapter 15. You know, if you're not connected to the source, then you're not going to bear the fruit. You're not going to have love. You're not going to be able to express that in word and deed as God would want us to. Then in verse 10, he says, if you keep My commandments, you will, not you might or you may be, but you will abide in My love just as I have kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love. So again, back in chapter 14, what did we see? It was said that loving Jesus would result in obeying or keeping His commands. He said, if you love Me, you'll keep My commandments. Now he reverses the order and he says, if you keep My commandments, you'll abide in My love. Now, what do we make of that? What conclusion can you draw from that? that he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And then one chapter later, he says, if you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love. Because he's saying the same thing. He just reversed the order of it. So what conclusion can you draw from that?
Love one another.
All right, love one another. Anybody else? Going once, going twice. Too many donuts or donut holes this morning. Could we draw the conclusion that obeying and keeping the commandments results in abiding in Jesus' love, and that the conclusion is they are one and the same? It's not like I keep Jesus' commandments but I don't love them, and it's not I love Jesus but I don't need to keep his commandments. The two are hand in hand. It's the same thing. To say I love Jesus means that you will obey his commandments, and to obey his commandments means I love him. So they're interchangeable. They're inseparable. You can't have one without the other. They go together like peanut butter and jelly or whatever, if you like that. But, you know, they're just, you can't separate them. You know, we remain in Jesus' love by obeying his commandments just as he obeyed the Father's commandments. And so we're just emulating what he has done. And if we do this, then what happens? What's the result of that? It's the joy that we have in our lives because of our obedience to the Lord. And the joy that just can come rushing in and fill us, knowing that we are abiding in him, that we are keeping his commandments, that we do love him, and that we are bringing honor and glory to the Father. So Jesus models two really important behaviors for his disciples and for us as well. One is he obeyed the Father's commands, showing that, you know what, if I obey my Father's commands, you can obey my commands. Okay, I'm your example. I'm the one that you look to, and everything the Father asked me to do, I did it. You know, and we've seen that over and over again in the Gospel of John, haven't we? You know, it's always, I've come to do the will of my Father. You know, I and my Father are one, but I'm here to do his will. I'm here to do what he wants done. I'm here to glorify my Father. I'm here to obey my Father. And so Christ tells his disciples, if I'm doing this, even to the death of the cross, you can follow me. You know, and again, that's why he says, what? Greater love has this than no man, but that they lay down their life for a friend. Why? Because he was getting ready to do that. And he says, if I can do that, you can do it too. And in most cases, you know, we're not being asked to actually lay our lives down physically. But what is it? We're being asked to be living sacrifices to serve him and to go that extra mile. And then, too, Christ portrays and shows us that, you know what? I love you with this love that I'm willing to die for you and give everything for you. So he says, you know what, you can love each other. You can do that too. You know, I'm not asking you to do anything that I haven't already done. And so Christ is our example. He is showing this. And then in verse 11, he says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you. And what? That your joy may be full. Okay, and so if your joy is full, what does that mean? What's that telling us? That it's complete. Right. It's not like, yeah, I'm kind of happy in Jesus, but man, I really wish I could, you know, add on a couple other things over here. You know, I'm really happy with Jesus, but man, you know, the world has a couple things that would just really make it worthwhile if I could participate in them too. No, Jesus says, you know what? If you are fully invested in me like you should be, then your joy is complete. It's full. You don't need anything else in your life. When the joy of Christ is in you, it's you don't need anything the world has to offer you. This obedience, this love, this fruit bearing, being pruned. You know, and again, all of that, we can look at that as, you know, it's not real pleasant, is it? You know, it's not always pleasant to, you know, be the one that, okay, I have to obey, I have to love, I have to bear fruit. You know, sometimes we just don't want to go the extra mile for somebody. You know, I had a situation this week where I was asked to do something and I did it. But you know what? Afterwards, I was like, you know, I really wish that they hadn't asked me that because I really didn't want to do it. You know, I just really didn't want to have to do that. I wanted to do something myself personally. You know, I had in my mind something that I wanted to do that day. But they asked, and I was like, you know, I guess I have to, you know, it wasn't like I had to do it, but in my mind, I knew I had to do it kind of thing. You know, and afterwards, I even asked my wife, I said, you know, just, is that wrong? You know, because, you know, I was really conflicted with that. But, you know, but all those things, it's painful, it's demanding of us. But does that suggest the excitement or desirability? And then the purpose of abiding in the vine is to what? It provides us this sense of delight to us that are true disciples of Him. So even through the pain, even through persecution, we still have a joy. We still delight in the fact that we are one of God's children. And Jesus doesn't call us to a dull existence. And we hear that a lot, don't you? Well, if I became a Christian, man, it'd just be a dull life. Well, no, it's not. You know, it's not a dull existence. But yes, we will be hated by the world. You know, yes, we do need to obey, and we do have to obey the commands of Christ. And yes, we're waiting to get to heaven. But is that there's all in that, the joy of knowing that, you know what, when I get to heaven, I can hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant, if that's what I've been here on earth. And Christ offers a fullness of joy. And nothing else in the world can bring that joy to us. When we're serving Christ, we're abiding in Him, if we are obeying Him, then our joy is complete, and it's everything that we need is wrapped up in that. In those desires, in those deeds and actions that we are going forward with. So it's difficult to fully receive the love of Christ if we take His forgiveness for granted. You know, if we don't realize what we've been forgiven of. You know, and again, sometimes, you know, some struggle with that more than others. You know, some people feel like, well, you know, I wasn't that bad of a person. I don't really feel like I, you know, did a whole lot for me. You know, then others on the other hand are like, man, I can't believe Jesus did that. Not, you know, what, you know, and then they kind of go the opposite direction of, well, you know, I just don't know if He really would save me because I was so bad. So we kind of have both sides and, you know, both ditches, don't we? Yeah. But what we both, and everybody in between, what we've got to realize is, you know what? Yes, Jesus loves us. Yes, Jesus died for us. And you know what? Yes, He has forgiven us. And we have to realize the extent of that forgiveness, the extent of His love that He did have for us. All that He gave up, all that He did so that we could be forgiven, so that we could have eternity in heaven. And so the more that we obey, the more that we experience the love of Christ in our lives, it will, our joy will have that fullness. Because it's, again, kind of a, it's kind of like putting air in a balloon. You know, the more air you put into it, the bigger it gets, the more it holds. You know, so the more that we love, the more that we obey, the more that we obey, the more that our love grows for Him. And the only difference is that it's, you can't pop that balloon if you put too much in it. It'll just continue to expand as long as you continue loving and obeying. And the obedient devotion works for our benefit. Because that's what it is that makes our joy complete and really brings it all together. All right, next week we'll look at verses 12, starting verse 12 down through 17, the true love and the ramifications of it. And let's pray this morning. Father, thank You for Your love. Thank You that we can abide in You. Thank You for that as we love You, as we abide in You, that we can have joy, and that joy is complete, that joy is full. We don't have to look to the world for other pleasures or other activities to try and make us happy. All of that is found in You. And so we thank You for the example of Christ. Thank You for sending Him to us and providing salvation. Help us to love Him more. Help us to obey more. In Your name, amen.